I'm Michelle Franzen. The Pentagon beefing up its presence in the Middle East and working to dial back tensions as Iran and its proxies vow to retaliate against Israel for recent assassinations of Hamas and Hezbollah leaders. ABC's Louis Martinez says the assets are meant to send a message.
What we're seeing is defensive weaponry that's going to be sent over to the region. We send these fighter aircraft, potentially that will be in place to shoot down any drones or missiles that Iran may launch towards Israel. So that's a deterrent. And also you have these ships that can shoot down incoming missiles as well.
State Secretary Antony Blinken also headed to the region to resume Gaza ceasefire talks this week. Vice President Kamala Harris in Washington, D.C. today for briefings and staff meetings. Her running mate, Tim Walz, will hold his first solo campaign event later today in Los Angeles. And Tropical Storm Ernesto gaining strength as it moves towards Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. It's not expected to directly impact the East Coast. This is ABC News. In Greece, firefighters are getting a bit of a break as winds die down and teams work to contain a wildfire outside Athens.
Cleanup operations underway after a major wildfire burned into the northern suburbs of the Greek capital, triggering multiple evacuations. The strong winds that fanned the flames for 2 days have died down, and the blaze is no longer advancing. Firefighters are now concentrating on dampening hundreds of scattered, slow-burning areas ahead of winds that could pick up again in the coming days. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
A new study links moderate drinking to higher death rates in middle-aged adults. Researchers concluded that older adults do not benefit from moderate drinking. This contradicts previous studies that have a few drinks can protect against chronic conditions like heart disease. Low to moderate drinking is defined as one drink per week and no more than two drinks per day. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Life hack number 7. Get an iPhone 12 on Straight Talk.
Life hack.
Here's how it works. You walk into Walmart, go to the electronics section, ask for iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system, and select the new Silver Unlimited plan. They'll smile because it's a good plan. You get real unlimited data all for just $20 a month for the whole first year. Get it at Walmart or StraightTalk.com. Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Taxes and fees apply. Requires activation of iPhone 12 and a new Silver Unlimited plan or higher end auto pay enrollment. $25 a month service credit applied for up to 12 months if eligibility requirements are met. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppables bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppables, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. It's primary election day in Wisconsin. Voters across the state will see a pair of constitutional amendments that would give state lawmakers some say in how billions of dollars in federal money are spent. Voters will also see primary races in everything from local offices to Congress in some communities. Something to keep in mind from State Elections Administrator Megan Wolf.
You can only vote for candidates of one party in this election. If you choose a party preference at the top of the ballot and you accidentally vote in more than one party's primary, the votes within the party that you chose at the top of the ballot will count towards your choice.
Polls in Wisconsin are open till 8 tonight. An armed man shot by Fitchburg police is in critical condition. Police say they responded to a call regarding a couple that was fighting. When officers entered the home, a 28-year-old man armed with a knife allegedly approached officers after refusing repeated commands to drop the knife. One officer fired at and struck the man, who was taken to the hospital. The victim of the original incident received minor injuries. The officer involved has been placed on administrative duties as the Wisconsin Department of Justice investigates. Universities of Wisconsin officials are confident in the future of higher education in the state. UW System President Jay Rothman says they need to change the perception of the value of higher education.
If you look at the data, the number one reason that students are not going out is cost. I think sometimes we get caught up in that national narrative, well, you folks are too expensive. We have to push back on that in Wisconsin and say, listen, if you are an in-state resident coming to one of our universities, you can get a quality education.
Rothman spoke at a recent state Senate study committee on the future of the UW system. The committee is expected to meet again August 29th. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
You know what I could really go for right now? Literally anything that comes in a McDonald's carton, wrapper, or bag. Or a McDonald's cup. Yes, any of those items should do it.
Some decisions are not hard decisions. Right now, buy one of your McDonald's favorites, like a McDouble, McChicken, or four-piece McNuggets, and get the second one for just a buck. Price of participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Valid for product of equal or lesser value.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly sunny and warm today, with high temperatures climbing into those mid-80s. Winds will be light and variable, and overnight, patchy fog is possible. We put today on repeat for tomorrow as well before we get soaked on Thursday, with rain lingering for our Friday and even into Saturday. Call Tax Solutions now for help. 1-800-281-8193. Currently, it's 79.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
2024 corn and soybean production yesterday will get a reaction this morning, and there are several potential disruptions to the supply chains for global grain trade on the horizon. We'll take a look at those challenges.
Live with a long list of challenges via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with Dan Bossi from Ag Resource Company. Then it's Ken Erickson from Polaris Analytics and Consulting. And directly following the news, Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Welcome to AgriTalk, everyone. Glad that you are with us on this Tuesday morning. Karen Bonert's going to jump in here in just a little bit, and she is going to have some perspective on the number one thing. I shouldn't say it's the number one thing, but a very important thing.
No, hype it a little bit. Hype it.
That dairies consider when they are looking for new locations.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's got a lot to do with it, and I don't think anybody's going to be big-time surprised, but it does create a lot of challenges. Now, we've got the corn and soybean crops out there. We got the first survey-based yield estimates from USDA yesterday. So now that the big yield potential has been identified, 183.1 bushels per acre on corn, 53.2 bushels per acre on soybeans, now that the big yield potential has been identified, the challenge is going to be getting it in the bin. And finally, you got to move it around the country, and you got to have people at work doing that. And there are a couple of strikes or potential strikes that are on the horizon that could create some additional challenges there as well. You see what I did?
That was really good. That was really good.
I brought all the challenges together.
It's like full circle.
It is. It's all, well, like we're going to
You've been thinking this through, haven't you?
I try to. I try to put a little planning behind it. All right, buddy. How's things down your way?
Going really good. About 70 degrees, cloudy with a nice steady rain, but my computer has a red upward arrow, says temps to jump. It doesn't say when. It doesn't say how high.
Wow.
This is what we know so far.
You had rain yesterday, didn't you?
Oh, we had a real nice rain. Yeah, just and you know, no wind, no hail with it. At least here in my backyard, just nice steady rain. It's gorgeous.
Gotcha, gotcha. Yep. All right, let's go ahead and get to the news. What do you got?
Yeah, well, we'll stick with the weather, where the National Weather Service expects Tropical Storm Ernesto to continue to track closer toward the U.S. Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico, as deteriorating conditions are expected today. Meanwhile, dangerous heat conditions across the southern plains and Gulf Coast continues. Heat, dry fuels, and isolated dry thunderstorms may initiate additional fires across the west. Severe thunderstorms and heavy rains for areas of the central plains and the Mississippi Valley. We've got some daily export sales to talk about. 132,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China during the 24-25 marketing year. And 137,160 metric tons of corn for delivery to Mexico in the 24-25 marketing year. Some brief highlights from USDA's crop condition report. USDA rated 67% of the corn crop as good to excellent and 10% poor to very poor. The soybean crop was rated 68% good to excellent and 8% poor to very poor. USDA rated 72% of the spring wheat crop as good to excellent and 5% poor to very poor. Chip, it seems like these condition ratings on the corn and the beans are kind of stuck here, sort of hovering around that 70, you know, high 60 percentages.
Exactly, exactly. And that is unusual. Usually by now it is starting to deteriorate as the crop is moving along, maturing. But we're not seeing any of that at this point. It's got some people thinking that yesterday's yield estimates, that there might be some upside potential on top of those. Yeah.
All right. Well, Chip, sales of farm tractors and self-propelled combines in the United States have experienced a significant decline in the first 7 months of 2024. That's compared with the same period last year. According to data from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, this downturn is evident across various categories of agricultural equipment.
Well, we've been talking about it. It feels like the ag economy is in a recession, and it's going to be reflected in those equipment sales.
Well, in July 2024, the Producer Price Index, or PPI, a key measure of wholesale inflation, rose by 0.1%. Mm-hmm. That was below the anticipated 0.2% increase. The moderation in wholesale inflation comes after an unexpected increase in June, where the PPI rose by 0.2%. The U.S. government is facing significant fiscal deficit, running $1.52 trillion in the red just 10 months into the fiscal year, with more deficits expected before the fiscal year ends on September 30. The Treasury projects the full-year deficit to hit $1.87 trillion.
$1 trillion is so much money. It is so much money. People don't lose track of just how much a trillion is.
Mm-hmm. Well, Democratic candidate Kamala Harris has not yet offered many specifics on what she would do as president. Analysts note at some point Harris will have to offer at least a sketch of her policy plans. Campaign expectations have already been upended once by a debate. That could happen again when Harris and Trump square off. And finally, a railway strike in Canada appears imminent after the Canada Industry Relations Board cleared a key hurdle, raising the threat of a lockout if no agreement is reached by August 22nd. This, according to our friends at Real Agriculture. We'll get more on that later. Chip.
Yeah, we will talk to Ken Erickson about that coming up here in just a bit. All right, thank you, Davis. Let's bring in Karen Bonert, editor of Farm Journal's Milk. Good morning, Karen.
Hello, Chip.
All right, so talk to me about one of the deciding factors when a dairy is looking for a new location.
Well, sure. I think that there's a lot of factors. And I think that, you know, obviously farmers, Chip, are faced with a lot of challenges when we think of high input costs, that volatile milk price and labor issues. But when you're looking at where you're going to milk cows in the future, water, right? We've talked about this over and over, but water scarcity is a significant challenge facing dairies. So I was out in Sun Valley, Idaho last week, and Sarah Dorland was Sarah's dairy risk management said, hey, you know what? Where there is water, there's a way. And I think she was onto something because with all this processing coming online in the next year or so, $7 billion in investments, Chip, water is a necessity. And so you look at the areas around the Sun Belt, Texas Panhandle in particular, and it's going to be difficult to see more processing coming online with water availability already kind of being an issue that's affecting producers down there. So I don't think it's just pertains to Texas, but when processors are assessing where their next production plant's going to be, this is going to be the number one driver. And Dorland also said that she sees opportunity for future growth along the U.S.-Canadian border as there's access to plentiful water. So, which just matches up to the recent announcement by Upstate Niagara Co-op, who's doing a $150 million expansion. So I guess for me, Chip, the big question is, will more expansions happen along the border? I think time will tell, but you know, water is that's a million-dollar question that we all ask. Where is that water to grow the feed that ultimately can feed in the milk?
Exactly. Yep. It is a big issue, and in so many cases, when we talk about exports of wheat or corn or soybeans, mm-hmm. there are those that say what we're really doing is just exporting U.S. water. I mean, they talk about that in almonds too. So. Stuff like that. Good stuff, Karen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep, Karen Boner, editor, Farm Journal's Milk. We've got Dan Bossi up next.
Nearly 60%. That's how much of their food budget Americans spend eating out each year, according to the USDA's Economic Research Service.
Can I take your order?
To make sure dairy has a place at the table, the Dairy Checkoff partners with leading restaurants, developing dairy-centric menu items that have sold a total of 7.5 billion milk equivalent pounds since 2008.
All right, kids, what does everybody want?
Now that's making every drop count. Learn more at usdairy.com/4-farmers.
And one milkshake.
Are you a farmer stressing about grain prices? Ready to boost your bottom line without sacrificing performance? Meet Meltdown by BW Fusion, the original nutrient release product trusted for decades and used on millions of acres. Meltdown breaks down crop residue and releases P and K nutrients. Start seeing cost savings and crop productivity in your first year. Transform residue into revenue with Meltdown. Visit bw-fusion.com/meltdown or call 888-429-3874.
Spring floods, fall floods,
there's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
Conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad you're with us. Okay. USDA delivered the first survey-based corn and soybean yield estimates of the year yesterday. They have not gotten into their objective yield plots at this point, but they did take a look at the FSA, the Farm Service Agency, certified acreage data, and made some adjustments to planted acres on corn and soybeans, which resulted in changes to the harvested acreage estimates. Lost some corn, gained some beans. Let's get a reaction to all of this movement on the supply side from Dan Bossi, President, Ag Resource Company. Dan, it's great to talk with you. How are you?
I'm really well, Chip, and good to be with you.
Yeah, glad you're here. Okay, 183.1 bushels per acre for a national average corn yield. Dude, that is a big number, isn't it?
It really is when you think about it. And, you know, we've got a record yield in Illinois, 10 bushels an acre above the 2015 record, 225. So, you know, when you're out next week and I'm out this week, we need to see some really strong plant populations. Because no matter how big the ears are, it really has to be there. The plants' numbers have to be there. So that's kind of what we're looking at. But, you know, again, a big, big crop. Condition ratings aren't falling, as you mentioned, which means that maybe this yield gets better. But we've got a ground truth now, what USDA told us.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're doing and what we will be doing next week. The 225 there in Illinois, you've got clients, you've got friends all up and down the state. Do they really think a 225 is possible in Illinois?
You know, we did a survey of our clients, and I then talked to producer friends, if you will, as you pointed out. That, you know, we keep coming back to somewhere between 215 and 218. I'm not at 225, but like I said, a lot of this will depend on the finish of the growing season. It'll depend on foliar diseases and their pressure on the crop. You know, there's a lot to be undecided yet, Chip, but at the moment, I think USDA may be a little lofty on that number.
Okay. You know, but they did take some acres off, so the end result was not much change in the total size of the corn crop, right?
No, we had this big yield at 183. They lost 900,000 acres due to just under 2.8 million in prevent plants. They adjusted it. Lance needs to have credit for bringing this forward. There may be some tinkering in September, but I think it's less than 100,000 acres either way. And so at the end of the day, we've got a good handle now on planted and somewhat harvested acreage. It all comes down to yield. And I'm thankful that, you know, you and I don't have to think about harvested acreage anymore. Now just has to be what's in the field and how do we bring it home.
Yep. Yeah. You know, with something that you said at the very start is the ear pops, Dan. It feels like this season has given the crop what it needs to put on the grain length. It's given the crop what it needs to put on the kernel rows around. It's got the foundation built. It's just a matter of how many ears are out there and can we get it to maturity before the end of the growing season? And I haven't had anybody start flashing any warning signs about an early end of the growing season to me yet. So that seems to be likely as well.
No, I think it's, I have no idea about whether we'll have an early frost or how that'll all play into it. But this crop is normally developing as it should. So it would have to be something that catches us really early, which historically is a long shot. But that being said, I think you're right. I mean, there's going to be a lot of 16s and 18s out there. They're going to be long ears. The question is, do we have the plant population to support this kind of 225 bushels an acre in Illinois? And so, you know, I think when you go out on your tour, your plant population and ear counts will be very, very important.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. You out there with Harry and Jim again?
Yeah, I know Jim Quinton leads our team. As you know, Jim's an old timer and he's good. So we take two routes and we'll crisscross Illinois and Iowa, trying to get those two states. And then we'll try to see how you do the week after and kind of gather it all together. Of course, you're going to do much more comprehensive across the entire Midwest, but we just try to look at the I states and have a, have a ground truth to USDA, at least for our client base going forward on that.
Well, you've got some awfully good experience out there. Jim's the OG of crop scouts in my book. Ran the Midwest tour before he worked with Pro Farmer to transition it over to Pro Farmer back in 93, so you've got the OG out there with you. Okay, bean yield 53.2, and I mean not just beating trend line but beating trend line by 0.7 of a bushel. That's a big number as well.
No, it is a big number, and maybe it's testament to the farmers that got the seed in early. You know, if you talk to farmers, they planted, some of them planted their beans before they planted their corn, and we're done with bean planting. So you should see, you know, again, we're only in the early, we're only in day two of our tour, but, you know, heavily noted, good stands, all plants. So, you know, maybe that's testament to the farmer getting this bean crop in the ground in the last half of April. And it's had the best growing conditions. So if you ask me, I'm a little pessimistic on corn yields, only in Illinois, because that's the only thing we've seen so far, but really optimistic on bean yields. And so I think we're going to find good counts on the beans.
Well, USDA is optimistic in Illinois as well. 66 bushels per acre would be a new record for the state. Yep. So that's that is also a big number. Hey, real quick, on the field observations that you've made, are you seeing any disease issues that we need to be aware of?
Well, we are seeing more tar spot in corn than I would like, and we're also seeing gray leaf spot and some northern corn blight. So there is some foliar diseases. And, and again, you never have a chance to ask the farmer, did they treat the field with fungicide or not? We're assuming that some of these fields they haven't. So there is some of that, if you will. And tar spots showing up more frequently than we would like. On soybeans, they're all clean. I'm seeing nothing with terms of aphids or any problems there. But the foliar diseases in corn are out there. And it's something need to look for, because last year, the one thing that stood out in our crop observations was just no foliar diseases what to speak of. So a little bit of change on that this year.
Okay. All right. Then in the supply and demand report, the WASDE report, new crop corn carryover not that far above 2 billion bushels. That feels manageable. But, Dan, it feels like this soybean carryover is starting to snowball on us.
It feels like we're going to be buried in beans again. And, you know, we've got November bean prices getting closer to 950, and I'm only using 950 because that was the highs, if you will, when you go back to the trade war with President Trump in China. And we had a billion bushels kind of stacked up back then. I don't think we're heading to a billion bushels, but, you know, if you have a 54 on yield or something like that, we will be looking at, 600 million bushels. And that's enough to keep the bean market, you know, in that $9 to $10.50 range for a little bit of time here. The good news from our perspective is I got a bunch of Brazilians on this tour also, and we've got the Bank of Brazil here who does a lot of financing on Brazil. They are telling us that the Brazilian farmer, based on yesterday, is now in a position where they're losing money. They're joining us U.S. farmers. And so even with the real at 5.5, that may cause the Brazilian farmer to kind of rear back and plant less than his intended acres. So something to keep in mind as we turn the calendar to September.
Okay. All right. Very good. Switching gears, Ukraine's movement onto Russian land. I can't believe how little attention the market is paying to this, but it seems like a really big deal to me, Dan. Is it?
I think it could be a big deal also. I share your views, but, you know, we've been slapped with this fish in terms of trying to be bullish of Ukraine or the Black Sea because of the war. It never has panned out over the last couple of years, and I think the fish would have to get really smelly, and maybe then the market will react. But obviously, this is going to escalate things. And I would imagine Novolinsk and the big export port there in Russia could be at play at some point. So let's see what happens. But my Black Sea friends, if you will, are very concerned by this. And I think it's something we need to watch in the market going forward.
Okay. Well, I'll be relying on you to keep an eye on that for us and keep us up to speed on it. And then France lost a bunch of bushels to rain here, went on a harvest ready crop, didn't they?
Well, they really did. And if they're looking for a story in terms of the grain market, and it's hard to find one in this bearish landscape, It may be the wheat market, Chip, because, you know, if you look at the French crop, we think it's all of 25.5 million metric tons. That's 10 million metric tons down. And then you look at the Black Sea, and we've also got this problem with Russian spring wheat, where they've had way too much rain, similar to France. We've had this stuck weather pattern. So when we put it together, you know, if you got a problem in Russian spring wheat, which, you know, accounts for about 40% of their crop, there's something that may be developing in wheat that kind of bottoms us out here in late August, early September, and then gives us a rally effort into the end of the year. We'll see what happens.
Okay. Yep. You sniffed out what I was doing there pretty quickly, that I'm looking for some kind of a bullish story in these grains right now, and we might have to look to the wheat market for that. Dan, be safe out there on the road. Tell the guys hi for me, okay?
Will do, Chip. You do the same next week. Be well.
All right. Thank you. Dan Bossi, President, Ag Resource Company. We're going to talk about some transportation issues with Ken Erickson next.
Protecting your nitrogen is smart. And a nitrogen granule with a polymer coating that releases in response to conditions that promote plant growth? Well, that's me. I'm the environmentally smart nitrogen granule that gives the nutrition crops need when they need it, reducing nitrogen loss and increasing nutrient availability. Imagine feeding me to your fields. Me. Now, wait a minute.
Hey, can I rethink this?
ESN Environmentally Smart Nitrogen Fertilizer. Learn more at smartnitrogen.com.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association.
The next AOA, we'll go over the latest meat demand, monitor results, and more with Dr. Glenn Tonsor from Kansas State University. We'll talk with Dr. Lisa Becton from the Swine Health Information Center, markets with John Heimberg from Total Farm Marketing, and we'll get a crop update from West Central Minnesota with Syngenta agronomist Jason Snell on the next AOA.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, this is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. We got a great show lined up for you here as we are going to be taking a look at the latest Ag Economy Barometer numbers coming up later in the program with Dr. Jim Mintert from Purdue University and the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture. Also, we're going to learn about Power of Iowa Day at the Iowa State Fair and talk with the CEO of the American Clean Power Association. Jason Grume will be with us in segment four of our program. Josh Linville, VP of Fertilizer at StoneX, going to join us coming up as well here on the show today. We're going to get an update on what's happening with that fertilizer market and more, especially with depressed grain prices here currently. Helping us kick things off, though, we're going to connect now with Mike Miner from Professional Ag Marketing. He just got done with a crop tour of his own, and it's that season as we get crop tours going on across the country and much more. So let's bring him in. Mike, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. It's good to chat with you again, Jesse. How's it going?
It's going good, Mike. It's going real good. Now, I know on Monday, USDA predicted record corn and soybean yields, 183.1, 53.2, some monster numbers there. Now, I got to ask you, Mike, you just got done with a crop tour of your own last week. What did you find? Are those numbers realistic, or is it a little bit of a fantasy type of number there from USDA? What did you find on your crop tour?
Well, I'll put it this way. So, like, we traveled 2,500 miles. We went through, you know.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The truth is hard to come by these days unless you listen to AgriTalk.
All right, welcome back. Davis in the news mentioned that the Canadian rail workers are looking at a potential strike up there. He reported yesterday that the International Longshoremen's Association is in talks with the U.S. Maritime Alliance. on a new labor contract there. There's lots of stuff that is up in the air. And to add some perspective and give us some clarity on it, Ken Erickson, Managing Member and Strategic Advisor, Polaris Analytics and Consulting, joins us right now. Ken, it's great to talk with you. How are you?
Doing great, Chip. Good morning. Thank you for having me on today. And I hope you're doing well and certainly appreciate talking with you. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, good, good, good. So what is – let's stick with the International Longshoremen's Association. What are the – what's the status of the talks? What's the chances that we will see a strike there?
Yeah, a couple of things on the front. One, the contract expired September 30th, midnight. And what they did last week, the ILA, International Longshore Association, who really has a contract for the U.S. East Coast and the U.S. Gulf Coast. And that's about 36 ports, if you think about the reach of that. And what they put forward was a legally required 60-day strike notice last week. And so what that does for them, as soon as October 1 comes, they can strike. And they've been preparing themselves to do so, that's what all unions do. In prudence, they prepare themselves. But this time, they got ahead of the curve. But in the meanwhile, there's really been no or limited negotiations or discussions, mostly because the union said, hey, we see some activity down in Mobile area and some other ports where automation is starting to be more used more prevalently, and it's taken away from our labor. So we're going to not discuss things until you stop doing that. So that's been very slow and really been a hindrance to discussions. And this certainly has a big impact. I mean, they got 40,000 port workers that are prepared to go out, and they really want to see, you know, they're opposing forced work speed up situations, increased working hours. They're saying that there's been a decline in safety measures, and they don't like automation because they think that takes away jobs. But nonetheless, it's got some big implications here, Chip.
Well, the automation at the ports, they're not going to go backwards on that, Ken. They can't, can they?
No, and look, technology is your friend. And when you look at the global statistics on port performance, U.S. ports, especially on containerized movements, are among the poorest in the world because we're not adopting to either certain technologies or we've got certain work rules that limit the pace at which cargo can be moved on and off ships. Now, you do have some very skilled labor, I'll give you that, and they do a phenomenal job, but the way these rules are set up, automation is here and you can't go backwards. And look, we got a labor issue. And we have a tough time with trying to recruit labor and people to do the jobs. And it's very attractive to work on the waterfront, but that's what they're trying to do is keep their numbers up and keep them in place. 40,000 people in a union, that's not small potatoes.
No, not at all. And the area that you defined earlier includes the Mississippi River ports, doesn't it?
It does. And for the most part, this contract really speaks to container terminals, container vessels, liner services that are on a regularly scheduled basis, railroad ships, tanks, again, the terminals, and some of the warehousing. And now for the grain side of things that could, you know, in the center Gulf, whether it's on the Mississippi, Mobile, or even Houston and Galveston and Beaumont, those are going to be a little bit more limited because they use private labor. And so at least at the terminals and mostly on the ships, it's all non-union labor. And so for the most part, the interruption is going to be any strike will be very minimal to those areas. However, I would suggest that we got to be cautious. Could there be, if there's a strike and if the administration doesn't intervene in any way, which right now, the way they've set this up, the administration has little to be able to intervene, but they could try. And it's an election year, so how do you go with that? The West Coast labor could have a sympathy situation where the ILWU on the entire West Coast could say, look, we're going to honor that strike, and maybe we're going to be in sympathy with them with our own strike, work slowdown, or sick out, whatever you want to call it, Chip. Yeah. You could see some things that could spread to the West Coast, and if they're sensing that there's diverted cargo, they may want to try to do something there, mainly on the ship side, because they've got separate contracts for grain on the West Coast with the individual elevator. So that's a little bit unique for the ILW. But the ILA, where the hit is on the containers. And that's where we've got to watch for any of the special products and grains.
But there is some risk to ag in this whole scenario, isn't there?
There is, because inevitably things could slow up. And look, the threat of a strike gets into the mindset of the buyer overseas. And they may say, well, you're striking. We can't get grain out. Well, that's where good communication with the exporters and the ship agents and others try to subdue those fears. But it could spread to the West Coast, and that can be problematic in some ways for sure.
Okay. Is there going to be a rail worker strike in Canada?
Well, there's been really, in fact, last Friday, the National Labor Tribunal had ordered a 13-day cooling off period. And that has certainly been important, because immediately the Kansas City or the Canadian National and the Canadian Pacific Kansas City Southern Rail, both of them warned they would lock out employees on August 2nd. Meanwhile, there was a strike that was scheduled for last May, and that was what sent it to the Canadian Industrial Relations Board. The Teamsters said, look, if we go on a strike, we're going to give a 72-hour notice. But importantly, come August 22nd here, that's next Thursday, a week from this Thursday, there could be a lockout. And that would be by a lockout by the two railroads up there. And it doesn't mean the railroads shut down. It just means the union's locked out. And either people could cross over, or the railroads would send management out into the locomotives and to the yards to do the work. That would significantly slow things down. But nonetheless, they seem to be dug in, and there's not been much conversation around the negotiations that are really specific to scheduling, safety, and salaries, not surprising. And so this could be something very problematic here, because this is the last step before the government can do much more up there. And that could be very unsettling as we come in a month before ILA East Coast. Now, granted, this is the Canadian side of the border, but inevitably it's going to impact cargo going north and south over the U.S.-Canadian border, but has implications on having equipment in position that would need to move in and out of the U.S. and Canada. And that would have its tracks, no pun intended, back up into the system as we go forward here.
Okay. All right. Another one to keep an eye on. I enjoyed your comments on the potential that 45Z, the Sustainable Aviation Fuel Tax Credit, has as a potential disruptor on grain movement in the U.S. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, so the 45Z will come into play, will replace 40B as part of the Inflation Reduction Act, and that will be in January 2025. And what's interesting about this is you got a very, the grain supply chain is rather fascinating. It has very deep tentacles, but it's built on a system that's high volume, high speed. As you're just talking earlier about the harvest that's coming, it's going to be huge. We're going to have perhaps some storage constraints in many areas with the volume of one. If we look at September 1 stocks plus the production, it's going to be massive. And you're going to have some tight utilizations in certain areas. So the idea of moving high volumes is very important. And 45Z will reward to move the corn to an ethanol plant. And that's where the reward is. It's not in upstream in the supply chain, say, at the farm. And what that means is you could, instead of having a move that goes 35 miles, it will go, say, 100 and some miles instead. And that's not the most efficient move of grain. And that cost can be quite extensive as you go through the supply chain. And that's the problem. And certainly associations and the Renewable Fuels Association had me evaluate that for them. And it has a certain implication that can be very expensive through the supply chain and very disruptive.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Okay. Talk to me about the cross-border issue into Mexico. What is the issue?
The issue is, one, we've got too much of a good thing going on relative to the capacity to handle it, and the Mexican government seems to be slowing things up on more inspections of cargo going across the border. And really, Mexico is our number one market for corn and wheat. And we send a lot of volume and a lot of value down there. And it's been a good thing, except that as a matter of national security for the Mexican market, they've not been able to get their grain in a expedited manner. And so what they're trying to do is really add more capacity at the border. And that's not an easy process. It's very slow and within the system, because the renegotiated, you know, former NAFTA that went through the Trump administration, it turned out to be quite successful, come to find out. And there's been a lot of trade. And so sometimes too much of a good thing, except that it has slowed down inspections at the border. And what that's done, Chip, is that the buyers in Mexico have been looking elsewhere outside the United States to buy grain to fulfill their needs. And look, we know anytime there's a disruption, people look elsewhere, because food is a matter of national security. And Mexico knows that all too well. And that border is very important, even for southbound traffic.
Yes, no doubt about it. No doubt. Ken, it is always good to catch up with you. Thank you so much for your time and your thoughts here, man.
Thank you, my friend. Enjoy the tour. We'll catch you later.
Oh, will do, will do. Ken Erickson, Managing Member and Strategic Advisor for Polaris Analytics and Consulting. Davis and I will be right back.
You've paid top dollar for that new truck. Protect your investment with a new fabric sprayed-on bedliner from Osseo Plastics and Supply. A fabric bedliner protects your truck from rust and corrosion, and the permanent protective bond protects your truck from scratches. The anti-skid feature keeps your cargo from sliding around. The eye-catching bedliner looks factory installed, conforms to your accessories, and will increase your resale value of your truck. Find out how a fabric sprayed-on bedliner can work for you. Visit osseoplastics.com for more information.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Some things shouldn't be flat.
My tire!
But with GHX, you can maximize your acres with one flat price. While other brands sell by the bag, we sell seed by the acre to maximize your yield and profit potential. Our custom seed recommendations combine extensive product characterization and agronomic expertise to get the right product, population, and placement, all for one flat price per acre. Learn how at ghxseed.com/connect.
At Case IH, we know you work hard all year to maximize your yield at harvest. And to do that, you need a combine that works as hard as you do. That's why we built the new AF11 with more horsepower, more efficiency, and more capacity than any other combine out there. Plus, built-in automation to harvest more easily than ever before. To do more with every engine hour, you need equipment that's as good as you are. You need the best in your field. Visit your local Case IH dealer for more on the AF11.
It's time to cut costs. Your Meristem dealer has the keys. Unlock the NPK you already own with new, improved Excavator AMS powered by Microbialize technology. Excavator AMS is the first and only all-in-one nutrient release and residue breakdown product with built-in nitrogen, surfactants, and water conditioner. Take cost out of your fertilizer and adjuvant spend now. Unlock nutrition faster with Excavator AMS. Learn more and find a dealer at meristemag.com. Always more bushels for less.
The startup of another day. Caring for the land to make sure it's passed down for generations.
Regenerative ag practices help build healthy soil, reduce erosion, and hold moisture. Now ADM will reward you for implementing cover crops and other conservation practices with incentives that could pay over $35 an acre. ADM appreciates all you do to protect your land and legacy, and we believe you should be rewarded for it. Visit ADMRegenerations.com to learn more.
Another great harvest thanks to Pioneer brand corn.
Just a few questions.
Who are you?
Kim Kernel, Ag Sports News. I've been chasing your combine for a while. How does it feel getting 10 more bushels per acre over last season?
It feels great. Couldn't have done it without Pioneer. It's America's number one corn brand.
And there you have it, folks. Live from the field.
Who are you talking to?
Pioneer. Your best year starts here. Learn more at pioneer.com/best yet.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
You suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at #AgriTalk. And welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning. I am your pal, Davis Michelson. Chip Flory joins as well. Chip?
Yeah. Yay, buddy.
Yeah. We had a couple of great conversations there. I want to go to Ken Erickson. What? Huh? Are you okay?
Okay, yeah, something just popped into my head.
There was a gasp. Let's have it.
Yes. Well, and this has nothing to do with what we were talking about before, but it's an update to a story that I heard yesterday, or that something that we talked about yesterday, and that's the big boar at the Iowa State Fair.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 1,420 pounds.
Petunia, as I recall.
Finnegan.
Huh? Finnegan. Oh, of course.
I went to high school with the guy that raised him.
What?
Yes. Brian Britt.
We should get
Brian. I saw Brian on the news last night. Brian's an auctioneer. I saw Brian on the news last night with talking about Finnegan, the 1,420-pound boar.
Yeah. We should have him on to talk about rate of gain. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, I think he's been around for a while. Brian's down there at Monticello, so big shout-out to Jones County.
Heck, yeah. And an auctioneer to boot.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I said, hey, little lady, won't you give me a sign? You know what I mean? Yeah, am I right? Yeah. That's what I said. Ukrainian forces. We haven't gotten into this, but you and Ken Erickson were kind of talking about the Ukrainian thing a little bit with Dan Bossi as well. Right. Ukrainian forces have launched a significant cross-border incursion into Russian territory, resulting in the control of dozens of Russian villages and approximately 386 square miles of land. This is a significant advance on the part of the Ukrainians here, Chip.
This is the, you know, when you first reported this, Davis, you said something that made me go, huh? Is that right? Mm. But it's the first incursion of foreign forces onto Russian land since World War II.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Now, there was a thing.
And the market just kind of took it all in stride.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
I'm surprised by it. Just shows how numb the market. When I say the market, I'm talking crude oil. I'm talking wheat. I'm talking corn. I'm talking, you know, fertilizer.
Yep.
You can talk about anything that touches Russia or that Russia touches in any way that has an impact on global supplies, and the markets just took this in stride. I'm really surprised by it.
I am too. And you hit it right on the head. There we go, thinking with the same brain again. Russia's fingers are in an awful lot of news stories right now.
A lot of stuff.
Let's look at the WTI crude oil here. This is the West Texas Intermediate, the U.S. crude contract. The October contract down $1.10 today, $77.36. Look out to the Jan 25, where it's $75 even, off 86 cents so far on the day. But
yeah,
this also
worse.
in yes, th-
This also in the news. Russian President Vladimir Putin today is expected to host Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas in Moscow. I don't know if this is going to be a big deal. I feel like it's a little bit granular to have any impact on the market. But once again, we see Putin's hands right in the middle of a potentially market moving situation here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I am getting updates as Ooh. We speak here.
All right.
It looks like there is some movement of the Russian troops out of Ukraine to put them in a more defensive position inside of Russia. I mean, see, this is changing everything up. It really is.
You want to speculate on a little Putin strategy here?
I'll jump into that.
Bring it in.
Do it.
Big Apple Joe, let's have it.
You're pulling your troops out of an area. Does that mean you're planning some sort of massive bombing campaign?
Well, there's that, yeah.
See, and this is my thing, too. The U.S. sending weapons and assistance to Ukraine, as long as they don't shoot those into Russian territory...
Right, right.
They're abiding by the agreement with the United States. So could it be sort of implied that if the Ukrainians are launching U.S. weapons onto Russian soil, perhaps, I like Joe's point, perhaps Russia's pulling back just far enough so they can say, you see, you're sending them weapons and now there are U.S. weapons on Russian soil.
Right.
I don't like this.
I mean, we're talking heady stuff here, war games. And
purely speculative.
Exactly. And I'm going to stick with this, okay? I'm surprised that the markets haven't paid more attention to this than what they have.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a bigger factor at some point in the future because this is an escalation of the conflict in the region that I frankly did not anticipate. And and here we are. Here we are.
Yep, indeed. Moving on. Let's get closer to home. Let's talk about those crops in the I states. Dan Bossie is kind of liking what he sees out there.
Oh, absolutely. And when you look at the soybean state by state yields, you've got a record yield anticipated just east of the I states in Ohio at 59 bushels per acre. Indiana comes in at a record 62 bushels per acre. Illinois in at a record 66 bushels per acre. And the yield projection or estimate in Iowa, 61 bushels per acre. But there's some awfully good yields expected in other states, too. A record 51 in Missouri, a record 57 in Arkansas, a record 58 in Mississippi. It's just it's a heck of a bean crop down the Mississippi Valley. On corn, Dan and I talked about it, but 225 bushels per acre is the estimate in Illinois. That would be a record. 207 in Indiana would be a record. 177 in Michigan, that's a record. Wisconsin, 183, a record. Do not ignore this one. Iowa, 209, a record. Nebraska, 194, a record. South Dakota, 162, a record. Man, oh, man. Big crops out there. Yep. We're going to get out and ground truth it next week and see if those bushels are out there or not. Hey, thanks for listening this morning. Come back this afternoon. Allison Thompson from the Money Farm right here on AgriTalk.
That's right.
This is Andrew McCray, host of the American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. Talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid.
Dude.
Did you hear about Cassie and Jake?
No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development?
Nuh-uh.
You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Progressive presents Good News, Bad News, Dumb News, then Great News. Good news. A letter in your mailbox says you could save money bundling your home and auto insurance with Progressive. Bad news. You saw it after your teenager backed the car into the mailbox. Dumb news. A new mailbox, basically a box on a stick, costs up to $400. Great news. You decide to see if you could save money.